5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
Yeah, I like the idea, Mafia, but I'm not sure anyone else would. I like the way you think, obviously, per usual, but I don't think they would like the way you think. So we'll just leave that off the table. But anyway,
that's usually done.
We got enough problems. We don't need to create, as you know, I'm not a fan of creating more on top of the ones I already have. So I have a lot to talk about here. The NBA informed its teams tonight that it's finalizing an agreement with the PA and a set of health and safety protocols. By the way, I don't know this chick's name or whatever, but I think it's some chick, right? Like, Mavi, I could be wrong, but I think Michelle Roberts is out. They got some new lady. She's like a lawyer. She's running the taking over the Players Association, but we'll leave that on another day. I don't really care who's running the PA, but I do know that she's not running it anymore. The protocols will require unvaccinated players to be under many of the same restrictions that the entire league played under for the vast majority of last season before the COVID-19 vaccine was available. Vaccinated players will have far fewer restrictions. For example, all fully vaxxed players, as well as tier one personnel, coaches, and anyone else working regularly within 15 feet of players and refs, all of whom have been mandated to get the vaccine, will not have to undergo daily testing. They will not have to undergo it. The only time outside of that, vaccinated players, tier one personnel will have to be tested only when they are symptomatic, a close contact of someone who tests positive for COVID, or a team medical staff member of a league physician requires it. Meanwhile, unvaccinated players must undergo daily testing prior to entering a facility, participating in team organized activities, or interacting with other players and tier one personnel. They'll also have to undergo lab-based game day testing as they did last season. So every day they get tested when they go to the building or game day, you're getting lab tested. Unvaccinated players will also have to live under a strict set of rules similar to the ones that governed their movements last year. Those include being prohibited from dining indoors in the same room at the same time as any other player or tier one personnel. They can't eat with the team. Required to maintain at least 6 feet of distance from any other person and required to wear a face mask at all times. Required to maintain at least 6 feet of distance during treatment sessions from any other player also receiving treatment at the same time, and required to be wearing a face mask at all times during that. Required to be given a locker that is distant from other players as possible and not next to another non-fully vaccinated player. Bottom line is they can't go near anybody, can't eat near anybody, can't get treated by a trainer near anybody, like, you know, after games, whatever. You can't go in the treatment room. Teams also been instructed to have their seating arrangements prevent players that aren't fully vaccinated from sitting together. Unvaccinated players are also required to remain at their residence at home and at the team hotel on the road, with the only exceptions being team activities and essential activities like buying groceries or taking their kids to school. They're not allowed to go to any restaurants, bars, clubs, entertainment venues, or large indoor gatherings and can only have in-person interactions with non-family members with a limited number of close personal guests who have got to be tested beforehand. Fully vaccinated players will also not have to quarantine if at all if they're in close contact unless there are unusual circumstances. They'll usually have to go through daily rapid testing for the next 7 days when they get close contact. Unvaccinated players, meanwhile, will be required to quarantine for 7 days no matter what. One thing that'll be consistent for both vaccinated and unvacced is that the use of face masks, with the protocol say everyone will have to wear it at all times when at a team facility, including on a bench during games, in a locker room, weight room, training room, when receiving treatment, and during team meetings. Traveling with the team, including any time when indoors other than when they're in their individual hotel room. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, SportsMap, Sports Bylines, for all events. Otherwise required under applicable federal, state, local laws, regulations, or orders. They got to wear the masks always. That won't be the case when they're participating in basketball activities, when showering or actively eating and drinking where allowed. Head coaches also won't have to be masked during games. All that's left is deciding when testing will take place for fully vaccinated players during the regular season and what activities fully vaxxed players will be able to take part in outside of team activities. 90% of the players are vaccinated. That leaves a handful that are not. And we know who they are. And I don't care what they say. Beal's not. Your boy Kyrie's not. Isaac in Orlando, he doesn't even matter. let's just get down to it of guys that matter. I mean, 90% of the league is, so I don't think they're going to have an issue. But I guarantee you it's going to be a pain in the ass for Beal and Irving, who think they're smarter than everybody. And Kyrie thinks he's Jesus Christ.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid.
You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks, find a penny, and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get Tomey.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Dodgers up 1-0 on the Padres in Dodgers Stadium right now. Bueller pitching against Darvish. Darvish on the hill right now. And we already know tonight that the Cardinals clinched the second wild card with their 17th win in a row. Can you even believe that that game was in St. Louis and that they were dogs? Do you remember when I did Coast to Coast Today, Mafia? They were dogs. The Brewers were favored. And meanwhile, they just got done sweeping the Brewers' asses in Milwaukee, a few days ago. Not over the weekend, but like beginning of last week, whatever it was. Remember we were talking about Craig Counsell's face when they blew the 5-1 lead just like 10 days ago or whatever. They kicked their ass in Milwaukee 4 straight. And then they come to St. Louis tonight. They've won 16 in a row, and they were favored over the Cardinals. I jumped on that. I jumped on the Cardinals again.
As you should. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's, almost like disrespectful to them because, if this Yankee game tomorrow, Yankees-Toronto, so two playoff teams, you got their ace Cole on the mound. If the Yankees, they have a 7-game win streak. If they had a 16-game win streak coming in tomorrow, what do you think Cole's odds would be? Like minus 370 or something like that? But St. Louis, we don't care if you won 16 in a row. We still don't believe in you yet, and you're even money. How stupid is that?
And they won and made it 17 in a row, and they're drinking champagne tonight. They're in the playoffs. That's done. So all that's left is the NL West, NL East, and the AL wild card. Both of them are still up for grabs. So too many games to determine. The ones that you know, I guess mattered the night I hit the Astros over the Rays 4-3. White Sox, I hit 7-1 over the Reds. Rangers beat the Angels 5-2. Twins, I hit 3-2 over the Tigers. Braves was huge against the Phillies, and I bet on Morton Fisherman. He got it done 2-1 over the Phillies and Wheeler. The Mets won that second game. They won both games of the doubleheader, 2-1 in the nightcap, 5-2 first game. Yankees won 7-2. So seven in a row for the Yankees. Orioles 4-2 over the Red Sox. That was the big loss tonight for the Red Sox. That killed them. That hurt them badly. It really did. You can't lose to the Orioles. The Pirates beat the Cubs 8-6. Now, going on right now, the Indians and Royals are 4-4. Doesn't matter. Rockies up 3-1 on the Nationals at Coors. Top 8 doesn't matter. Giants does matter. Playing the Diamondbacks in San Francisco. Bottom 4, 1-1. And does matter. A's, Mariners, 1-0. A's on a home run. They lead in the fourth inning in Seattle, 1-0. Now, as far as the wild card goes in the AL, because that's all that matters, here's the deal now. The Yankees by 2 over Boston, and Seattle is a game behind Boston. So is Toronto. They're both a game behind Boston. And two games behind the Yankees. Both of them. So there's five games left. And they got a two-game lead. They need to win. If they can win with Cole tomorrow, and then win, if they could somehow win at least one against Tampa at home at the Boogie Down, or if they win two, so that would be four games out of the five that are left. If they won four of the five that are left, it's over. They're in. If they win three of the five, they're in. That's it. One way or the other, first or second, wild card, they'd be in. If they win four of them, they're going to host the game at the Bronx. And it'll be Cole pitching. Because that'll be next. I think it's next Tuesday. Right? It's like our next Wednesday or something like that. It's Tuesday's the 5th. Wednesday's the 6th. So I think it starts Tuesday and then Wednesday, the wild card. So whatever, he'll pitch that wild card game no matter what. So that's enormous to me. The Yankees have won 8 of 10 and 7 straight. The Red Sox have lost 4 straight. Seattle's gone 8 of 10 and won 2 straight. Toronto's gone 5 of 5 and 10. And that was after they kicked the Yankees' ass 4 straight in the Bronx. So anyway, going back to the NBA thing real quick. Mafia, you got to admit, let's just hypothetically say you're Beal or you're Irving. Those are the two biggest names in the NBA that refuse to get vaccinated, and no one's going to tell them what to do. Fair enough. That's your choice. Congratulations. You're not getting the vaccine. You're not getting vaccinated. You're not getting the shots. You're not getting the booster. You're not doing it. No one tells you what to do. You're your own man. It's a very private matter, and you won't even discuss it. You won't talk about it. You won't answer questions about it. It's privacy at the highest order. Well, congratulations, because we don't care if you don't tell us, because we already know, because you're going to be going through all of that BS every single day of your life. What a pain in the ass that's going to be, Mafia, to have to go through that daily testing, lab testing, game day testing, lab testing, eating alone, sitting alone, not being allowed to go in any rooms anywhere with anybody, not being able to go out, not being able to go to dinner or anywhere, having to be stuck at home and then in your hotel room, isolated always, the whole season. What a pain in the ass for a guy like Irving or Beal when all, and fair enough, it's their choice. they don't want to do it, then have fun with that, because they got to do that now no matter what. There's no getting around it, because these dudes don't want to get the shot. No one's going to tell them what to do. But if they want to get paid their $30 million each, or more than $30 million, they have to go through those hoops. They're going to have to jump through all those hoops every day, everywhere they go. And here's another news flash for you. Jesus won't be allowed to play in New York City in the Barclays Center at all. And he won't be able to play in San Francisco either. And he won't be able to play in LA. And that's all there is to it. So, and you won't be able to play in Toronto either. So you play in the East, you're playing in Toronto a few times. You're not playing in Toronto if you're not vaccinated. So they're going to miss tons of games, and they're not going to be allowed to do anything. And we don't need to know that you're not vaccinated, because we already do know you're not vaccinated, because you're not allowed to do anything. And you're not allowed to play in those cities. And you have to go through every single day testing every day. And they're going to be all over your results publicly. Everyone's going to know that you're getting tested every day. They can't fool anybody, Mafia. They're busted.
No, they can't.
We already know that they don't have the shots.
Yeah, Kyrie, and especially him and Wiggins, the two in San Francisco and New York, where the restrictions are a lot tougher than these other ones where you're just not allowed to play at all. It's going to be, you know, such a drain on the team. They're going to have to answer questions about it constantly, all the other players. There's going to be, you know, how many games we talk about guys taking off, especially Kyrie with vacations. Like you said, home games, unless he gets it, he's not going to be able to play. Wiggins, too. And, you know, as bettors, you got to factor that in. You know, if you're going to look right now before this season starts at, you know, win totals and things like that, how many wins are you going to take away from these teams because these guys aren't able to play these half the season?
It's crazy. It really is. You're right. I mean, Kyrie's not going to play he just cannot play at the Barclays. It's that simple. You cannot, everyone that won't get vaccinated, losing their job in New York City as of this week. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
So, you know, we're talking about these guys in the NBA that aren't going to be vaccinated. And I'm telling you, Mafia, you can, you know as well as I do, like in New York City, if you're a teacher or you're a healthcare worker, by, I think it's this Friday, if you're not vaccinated, you're fired or you're right. Suspended without pay until you do it. So there's two choices. One, you're fired and you're done. Or B, you're suspended without pay until you do it. So it's, you know, one side of the coin or the other. You're either out or you're going to either get it done or you're not working or you're not getting paid. So, and that's including everyone in New York City. So if you think that they're going to let some guy play basketball in the NBA and then fire a bunch of nurses and teachers in this city that we live in, you got another thing coming. I can guarantee you. Like that Governor Hochul, that new chick that replaced the pervert, she's already said, we don't care what you think. You're a healthcare worker. You're not vaccinated. We're going to put the National Guard in the hospital taking your job. And teachers, you're done. If you're not shot up by Friday, you're finished. Your career is over. And they don't care what you think. So if you think they're going to let this guy who thinks he's Jesus Christ himself play basketball at the Barclays Center, he got another thing coming, Mafia. I guarantee you. Well, first of all, Wiggins, he already got denied the religious exemption. That already, he's already, or Beal, one or the other, they got denied. One of them tried to do the religion, and, you know, That's hilarious to me. Now all of a sudden you're going to bring God into it. God doesn't want you to get a shot. So you deserve to like bring your sickness to everybody else and come to work with no vaccine and everybody else is vaccinated. I'm not falling for that either. I'm not going down religious alley with anybody. It's simple. Either get it or you're not working. I think it's fair. It's real simple. Either get it or you're not working, and it doesn't matter who you are. I think that's legit. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's happening all over the place. It's not just, you know, we talk obviously from the sports angle of it, from the NBA, the NHL, NFL, you know, where they've kind of, you know, in no uncertain terms, almost made it hell for you to try to do your job if you're not vaccinated because they don't want to take the risk. They don't want to, you know, have you screw up a whole team or something like that. Well,
right.
You know, that's happening in regular life too. Like you said, New York City, San Francisco, you know, they've put in some serious restrictive stuff. You know, you can't do gyms, restaurants, you know, any entertainment indoors if you don't have a vaccine proof. You know, they've done the same thing up in, you know, Toronto, Montreal. They're doing the same similar things. They're doing it in a lot of different cities because, you know, a big part of it is trying to keep people safe because obviously if you're not vaccinated, you have a better chance of exposing people. But B, you know, in the same regard as maybe not the reason they're doing it, but a side benefit of it is them ticking you off enough to where you eventually you're like, all right, forget it. I'll just get the shot so I can live life.
What do you think of Beal saying his whole bit about how people that are vaccinated are still getting COVID? His whole act is, you guys want me to get a shot. I'm healthy. But the people that have the shot are still getting COVID. He's like, screw you. What do you think of those opinions?
I mean, he has the best excuse of all of them. Obviously, it's not one that's being accepted, but he had COVID. So he does have antibodies, you know? So I don't know. We don't know all the science of how long those last, if you need the booster to help you, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, he can actually say, hey, listen, I am protected, not by the shot, but I have, you know, that in my body already. But still, the other comments he was making are just so asinine and backwards. And it's, you know, essentially giving misinformation to people because, yes, you can still get COVID after getting the vaccine. You can still get any disease or sickness after getting the shot. How many people have still gotten the flu after getting the flu shot? Like, it helps to prepare you so that your body can fight. But sometimes your body still gets it and you know, have a little bit of symptoms and things like that. But you know what? If you give me just about any scenario where if you do something, it'll keep you from dying or being in the hospital. But if you don't do it, you might die or be in the hospital. I'm taking whatever you're giving me, you know, with, of course, certain caveats. But for him to say like, oh, well, I might get sick anyway. Yeah, but you won't die.
Right. Do you think that like I'm playing in the basketball league? And do you think that everyone should be vaccinated to play in that league? Or do you think... Like, because I think they should require everybody to be vaccinated to play in the league. I don't think they should allow unvaccinated players. It's that simple.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if it's good enough for the NBA, why isn't it good enough for, you know, your local one where you got people who you don't trust to begin with? Like, I wouldn't trust half the people there, especially even if you have, you know, otherwise you got to wear masks and things like that. There has to be some kind of protection because, you know, it is about protecting not just one player or a couple players. Or it's about protecting the most people possible. And that was another thing, you know, that Beal said in the press conference. We didn't play that on Coast to Coast today, but in that press conference, that was another thing where he basically was like, oh, they talk about like herd immunity. Like, I don't care about anybody else. Like, that's the kind of selfish, stupid opinions that get us deeper into this. They keep this with different variants. They keep this thing, you know, coming with different waves still over a year plus later because, you know, people are selfish and say, well, man, I don't care about you. I only care about me. That's not the way you attack this. That's not how you beat this.
You're right. And I'll tell you what else. It's always a guy making $35 million a year that says something stupid like that. I only care about me because we already know you only care about you when you make that money. And then how about these guys that act like money isn't everything? Like I heard Harden today in that presser yesterday say they were talking about his extension, that they're working on Harden and Kyrie extensions, right? And he said, it's not about the money. Is there anything worse in sports today than listening to a guy like the beard, James Harden, say it's not about the money? Oh my God. Is there anything more? A cardinal sin number one in sports nowadays is listening to some guy that's made $200 million already in his career actually sit there and insinuate that it's not about the money his new contract isn't about the money is just makes me want to absolutely vomit.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does.
$225 million in his career and is making $44 million just this year. Yeah, it's not about the money. You do it just for the love of the game, right?
Yeah, please. It's everything's about money. But, yeah, I'm playing. Let's just be clear.
Like that. Like, he's never sacrificed money. Like, even obviously the guy makes a ton of money, so you can't even necessarily say it's not about the money for him. But, you know, at least like when LeBron and those guys got together in Miami, he did sacrifice like $17 million to make it work for other guys. Like, there are guys who have given up money to help their team sign other players or restructure so that you get other things because you want to win. But when Harden has never taken less than has been offered, you can't say it's not about the money until he goes to the Nets and says, hey, listen, take $15 million of my $44 million this year so we can actually have a bench outside the big three. Then you can't say it's not about the money.
Yeah, because it is about the money with him. He's just it's just embarrassing that he said it. I heard it come right out of his mouth. It's not about the money. Well, of course it's about the money. Now, I'll tell you this to be clear. When I got COVID last Christmas, I got it playing basketball, right? So I got it. There were 15 guys I balled with, and I caught it. And we all caught it the same day. And all got it within 4 days of that day. So 14 of the 15 guys got it within 4 days of that day. It was a Sunday. And by Sunday night, I was coughing my brains out. I literally was sick for 13 days straight. And I coughed every 10 seconds for 11 days. I mean, it was the worst cough I've ever had. And it was... no sleep till Brooklyn cough. Like, I never slept. I remember sleeping, you know, one hour at a time maximum at best because I coughed my brains out and I couldn't stay asleep when you're coughing your brains out and I couldn't breathe. I coughed like crazy and couldn't taste, couldn't smell, couldn't eat. All I did was drink water and Gatorade. Drank cough medicine until I was blue in the face. That didn't work. Eventually, I checked into the hospital, got admitted, got put on all kinds of drugs, steroids, codeine, you name it, esophagus drugs because I was having trouble breathing. And my air pipes were all swollen and clogged up. It was awful. And I sweat. I lost 11 pounds. I sweat like I was in the desert. And I was in the Sahara. I was sweating. I mean, I was dripping, gushing every night in bed. It was awful. Like, I stayed in a hotel the whole time I was sick. And I wasn't the only person at that place sick. There were people in there. The place was packed. And I guarantee it was a lot of people sick because when you got sick with COVID and your family, you didn't want to be around them. You went and stayed at a hotel or whatever. A lot of people did that. That's what I did. So it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. Now, I missed maybe one day of work or something. Remember, I was supposed to come back on a Monday and I came back like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, Mafia. I never really missed any time because it was during my Christmas vacation, Christmas and New Year's. New Year's Eve, I was miserable, sick, coughing my brains out, watching TV in a hotel room. It was depressing as hell. I couldn't even do anything. It was awful. It was absolutely awful. Oh my God, that COVID. I mean, it is the worst. I want no part of that ever again. I mean, I'll do anything. I'll get a booster tomorrow.
May or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever panicked at realizing you've lost your lucky troll doll, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Salvi Perez hit number 47, league leading. Number 47 tonight for Salvador Perez of the Royals. They won. They beat the Indians. He's had an incredible year hitting home runs, no doubt about it. but nothing compares to what I'm watching Giancarlo Stanton do over the last four games for the Yankees, hitting a home run in every game, driving in 13 runs, carrying the Yankees to a sweep in Boston by himself every night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He carried them. Tonight, he carried them. He had the three-run homer when they were up 3-2 to make it 6-2, and then he had a double later over the right fielder's head. I mean, to tell you, that guy is going off. Mafia, the John Jones arrest, he has said tonight, he's like, he's never going to drink again. He said he's alcohol is finished for him for the rest of his life. He literally threw the gauntlet and said he will never drink again tonight. That's what he's saying after the release of the information on his arrest of yanking this chick's hair, headbutting the cop car. He was obviously hammered, bleeding from the fiance, bleeding from the nose and mouth. He resisted arrest, smashed his head with a headbutt into the cop car, clearly hammered. And this is multiple incidents with this guy and alcohol and drugs over the last several years. It's truly unbelievable. And he sounds like a guy, making bold predictions he'll never drink again. I don't think he'll live up to, because he just flat out drinks and parties, and he's just continued to do the same things through the years, even with all the problems he's had.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same kind of stuff we've heard from him before. You know, if you weren't ever going to drink again, don't you think it would have been, after you crashed a sports car in Buffalo like a decade ago, or after, you were high and you hit the pregnant woman, like 6-7 years ago, or maybe after last year when you had the DUI arrest, when you got your gun and you're shooting stop signs out in New Albuquerque. Like, this guy has had so many times where he has screwed up and been in trouble with the law or gotten popped for drug tests and things like that, that, this time, we're going to believe him. Like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 15 damn times, you're an absolute moron. I don't believe him. Do you? Because, look, it's happened over and over again. Every time, he's so contrite, and I've learned, and I'm going to grow up from this. I'm going to be a better man. I'm not going to make these stupid decisions. A year later, it happens again.
So what did you think of your boy Syndergaard taking the mound tonight for the first time in 2 years? And he worked a 1-2-3 first inning. That was all they let him pitch.
Yeah, 1-2-3 first inning, hit 2 strikeouts. So, that's great to see from him. But I agree with what you said earlier in the day. I'm just glad he didn't blow his arm out, because why did you take the risk? I just don't get it. Like, you've had him do rehab starts. You've had him do other stuff. Like, he can throw. Like, you don't really need to put him out there against live MLB competition. Yes, it's the Marlins, who are, essentially a triple-A or double-A team at this point. But still, it's not worth the chance that this guy goes on a major league mound at home and something gets screwed up when you've had so many issues the whole year, whether it be DeGrom, who you just had to finally shut down and give up, with his tear in his elbow. You had, the Syndergaard issues all year. You had Carrasco have issues. You've had so many issues with your pitching staff and injuries. Why take the risk on this guy you haven't had in 2 years? I don't understand it. I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad he got through it. Hopefully we won't get some report tomorrow of some tightness or soreness or pain that he has from doing this. But it was a crazy risk. I agree with what you said earlier. You just shut him down. He did it in the rehab starts. Let him relax. Bring him back in spring training and try again.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, the Steelers and the Giants, I want to use as an example here. They're both talking about no changes, no dramatic changes. The Steelers have lost 2 in a row. Tomlin says they're not going to do anything drastic. And Joe Judge, 0-3 Giants, says there are not going to be any drastic changes to what we're doing. We're just going to keep working. Well, I think the Steelers are going to get whacked in Green Bay on Sunday. And, I have no faith in the Giants. They're playing the Saints in New Orleans. I don't think they're going to win that game. Do you? I mean, unless I'm crazy, they should lose that game. I mean, Do you think that both of those teams, knowing what they have in front of them, I mean, I think they'll both be, you know, the 3 in a row for the Steelers, and I think the Giants will be 0-4. The Steelers will be 1-3 when it's all said and done. Do you think they should be making changes? Do you think they should go a different direction than Big Ben? Do you think, I don't know what the Giants would do. Who the hell would they turn to? I mean, they're not changing quarterbacks. They don't even have one. So I think they've got big problems, both of those teams.
I agree. They absolutely have big problems. But I think at this point, you know, it's kind of you made your bed, you have to sleep in it and see where you go from here. It's too early, I think, to start firing guys and doing things, because if you look at, you know, what they have, you know, Canada just took over as OC in Pittsburgh. You just put, you know, Big Ben in this offense through, you know, learning this guy's system, learning what he wants to do. And then what happens, like, you know, 3 weeks in, you say, oh, forget it, we're going to change it again. And everything that you just learned go out the window. Gary at least has had, you know, a year plus to deal with a lot of these same players. You know, he was there last year with, you know, same quarterback, running back, even though Saquon was hurt, you know, a lot of their same receivers and linemen. So he's a little bit more, you know, definitely in hot water. I think if things don't pick up, he's definitely out the end of this year. Probably get the whole system out, you know, the end of this year. You probably get him out. You might boot Judge. You might get even rid of Gettleman as well because of just the lack of success they've had since those guys have been there. But I think with Pittsburgh, you stay a little more the course right now, and you see, because you obviously don't believe in Mason Rudolph, because if you believed in Mason Rudolph, you wouldn't have brought in Haskins. And if you really believed in Haskins, then he'd be your backup instead of your third string. So neither situation do these guys have somebody waiting in the wings where you say, okay, maybe we start trying things out. I think you're still, you know, especially with the Steelers, you still have a little bit more hope, at least, that you can turn things around because you have a Hall of Fame, you know, quarterback and a guy who's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. So you go a couple more weeks, and then maybe if you lose a couple more and you're definitely out of things, you start tweaking things, maybe start trying out the backups and see what you have. And if you got a draft and draft, you know, high for a new quarterback and things like that. But it's too early to make sweeping changes, but there's definitely need to be something, like maybe some small changes behind the scenes, to, because things aren't working, obviously.
I don't want anything to do with that Sam Howell in North Carolina.
No,
the Steelers have been looking at. He sucks.
Not.
I mean, he can't do anything right. I watched him throw 3 picks in the opener at Blacksburg, and then I watched Georgia Tech kick their ass on Saturday. I'm done with that guy. I want nothing to do with that guy. Remember, they were talking about him being the Heisman. They're like, he's going to win the Heisman. Mm-hmm. I said today on Coast to Coast, I have never seen a more pathetic, seriously, pathetic cachet of names in the running for the Heisman Trophy. I mean, I literally don't think one of them deserves it. There's like 12 guys on the list, and I don't think one of them deserves a Heisman Trophy. Not at this point. There's no one. The kid at Cincinnati, the quarterback at Cincinnati, and the quarterback Clifford at Penn State, the redder kid at Cincinnati, whatever his name is. I think, you know, this is a gigantic game on Saturday for, you know, the Bearcats to go to, you know, South Bend and to take on the Irish. And I think, you know, the kid Ritter has got, he's having a great season for the most part. But the bottom line is Cone has more yards than him, more TDs than him, same amount of picks as him. So, you know, and I think Cone's awful. And so how do I give the Heisman to a guy with less yards, less touchdowns, less everything, because his team's undefeated, whatever. Well, so is Notre Dame. And I think Cone's terrible. I watched him against Wisconsin. I was like, Jesus, this guy stinks. I just don't think he's a good quarterback. So I'm not giving the Heisman Trophy to some kid because his team's undefeated. To be honest with you, I mean, bottom line is you got to have something stand out. The numbers, the stats have to stand out from everyone else. You have to distance yourself from everybody else, in my view, to get it. And there's no one standing out to me at all in college football. Just so you know, there are good games this week in terms of before Saturday. So, you know, Friday night, you got Iowa and Maryland. They're both 4-0, and that game's in College Park. I think that's going to be a good game. And BYU's 4-0 playing at Utah State on Friday night as well in Logan. I think that's going to be incredible. And then, believe it or not, Thursday night, you got Virginia and Miami playing at Hard Rock. And then Friday, you got Houston and Tulsa. So there's a bunch of games. Those are like unranked teams that are playing. Those games are Thursday and Friday. I know Miami beat up on Central Connecticut State. Let's see them beat Virginia. Let's see them beat any decent team. I don't even think Virginia's decent at all, to be honest with you. And then NFL Thursday night in the Queen City, you got the Jaguars and Bengals. Cincinnati laying 7.5. I think Trevor Lawrence looks awful. I think the Jaguars and Urban Meyer look awful. Proof's in the pudding. You're winning the game at halftime against Arizona, playing your ass off, and you still got your ass beat. You still got your ass beat. What, 31-19, something like that? I mean, you're up at the half, and then you lay that egg in the second half. That's who you are. So I can't imagine in any world where they go to Cincinnati and beat the Bengals. Seriously. I mean, the Bengals just went to Pittsburgh and kicked the Steelers' ass 24-10. Burrow and Chase were lighting it up. They were running the ball with Mixon down their throat. I mean, they should be able to kick the Jaguars' ass on Thursday night. No questions asked. Wouldn't you think, Moff?
Yeah, I would, because, I mean, if you even look at that Cardinal game, like you said, not only were they up at halftime, they were up because of a kick six. If not for that, it's a different game. They only put up, what, 12 points then? Put up 4 field goals the whole game? That's just not a good team. He's getting, obviously, a little bit better because he started so terribly. He can't get worse, but it's still big growing pains for him. And the way that Burrow's connecting with Chase right now, it can get ugly quick.
So I had a rough day Sunday. Last Sunday, 74% winners in the NFL betting. This Sunday was a lot rougher, especially the 1 o'clock games killed me. But then the 4 o'clock games, Denver I hit, you know. And by the way, I had that Cardinals right. I just didn't hit the spread on the Jags. And they were up at the half and still let me down. Denver I had, and then I had Vegas. They didn't cover the spread, but I hit the Rams both ways, Vikings both ways, hit the Green Bay spread, and then Dallas both ways, money line and spread. So 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and Monday night, I came back strong betting.
Yeah, 4 of your top 6.
I'm hoping, what's that? 4 of the top 6 I hit, right? So that wasn't bad. So at the end of the day, if I hit 4 of my top 6 plays, I'm happy. And if I finish strong like I did after a bad start, I'm happy. So I'm excited going into this week.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
So besides Cincinnati, Notre Dame, Arkansas, Georgia, and Athens going to be great. I think Michigan, Wisconsin, and Madtown, kick ass. Louisville, Wake, at Wake. Ole Miss at Bama. Oregon's at Stanford. Oklahoma's at Kansas State. These are great games Saturday. Ohio State at Rutgers and Piscataway. Florida, Kentucky, and Lexington. Mississippi State at A&M. Baylor at Oklahoma State. Indiana at Penn State and Happy Valley. BC and Clemson. I love seeing Clemson lose. Auburn and LSU Saturday night at 9 late night. Arizona State and UCLA at the Rose Bowl 10:30 late night. Fresno and Hawaii 11 late night on CBS Sports Network. All those games, top 25. And I didn't even mention some other ones. Western Kentucky and Michigan State. Louisiana Tech and North Carolina State. Monroe and Coastal. All happening on Saturday. Those are just the ranked games. There's tons of unranked games that are kick-ass as well. I think it's going to be an incredible Saturday for sure. Dodgers up 2-0 on the Padres right now in the sixth. Giants still 1-1 with the D-backs in the bottom of the sixth. Runner at first, nobody out for the Giants. Mariners lead the A's now 2-1. The last time we checked, it was 1-0 A's. 2-1 Seattle now, top six. Those are the only games going on right now. And, I mean, the Yankees, enormous win in Toronto tonight. Red Sox, a huge loss. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern on Coast to Coast. Good night, everybody.